to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Did you need music behind that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No music required.
It kind of sounded like you might need music. Let's see. I have to turn you down. You're kind of loud.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. So, here we are on November the 3rd. Got to make sure we stress the date, because we're either going to be happier or sadder after Tuesday. Preferably happier. That's the team we're playing for, is the happier team, the one that does not bite babies or cackle.
I think it's time for everybody to get their riot gear out, because no matter who wins, it's going to be required.
I did have somebody text me. It said that their neighbor across the street usually puts out political signs, but didn't this round, but did paint their address on the curb with a blue background.
Oh.
And it's like,
what about the sandbags?
Is
Why'd
that
they
a
put
thing?
Those sandbag walls out? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Yeah. The world's gone mad. So we're going to have a good time today, but we're going to talk about serious stuff. And at the end of the day, bottom line is, if you don't vote...
you're a knucklehead.
Yes, there's that. That's a really nice way of putting it. Bill, you're in charge of describing the people who do not vote.
I've been studying
I have nothing nice to say.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you don't vote and you care about the Constitution, that's your access point. So,
that's
you gotta
right.
do it. And I realize there are issues. We're going to talk about some
and
of those today.
Your vote does count.
Yeah, and there's a ton of down ballot stuff. So if you're still trying to figure out... school board, and you're trying to figure out propositions if you live in one of those states, and you're trying to sort all that stuff out, look on your, call smart people that you know, or look on your local maybe a Republican committee or your state committee. You can look on your Democratic committee, but that wouldn't be the one I'd recommend, but they do exist. So anyway, I would double check with them before you read through the whole thing and get yourself all wound around the axle. But please don't abdicate because you go, well, they're already going to call the presidential election. My vote doesn't matter, and I'm just not going to do it. You have to understand that regardless of the presidency, the House and the Senate are super important. Your whether you're an assembly and a Senate or a House and a Senate at the state level, they make a ton of rules that affect you, and they are the only thing standing between you and the bureaucracy that will come and crush you. Take away out here, you know, take away your water, make you focus on nothing but fish, whatever it is they're up to. But you've got to play that card.
Yep. Don't forget about your school boards.
School boards, it's all super, super important. So it isn't, we get sometimes really focused on the presidential election, forget about all the rest of the stuff. And that's how we wind up with bad people in office. And for those of you that are still thinking term limits are excellent, just want to remind you, we have them. We call them elections. So term limits are coming on Tuesday. And you have right. access to term limits on Tuesday. So go and do that. And if you still really think term limits are super smart, you should look at California, because it's been really good here.
Yeah, it's really worked
yeah,
out.
It's really, really helped us here a lot.
You get new dummies every couple of years.
Well, everybody's changing seats all the time. Nobody's there long enough to learn anything. So, that said, today we have Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and we also have Doug Logan, who is the founder and CEO of Cyber Ninjas, the former founder. I don't know what you say with that, but anyway, he holds a specialty in application security. So bottom line is, everything Doug knows, we know nothing about. We'll just like confess that. We're just going to confess that at the outset. So everything Doug tells you is what Doug knows, and so we're kind of excited, because this is cybersecurity. I just got a letter the other day. I just opened it yesterday, that said, oh, by the way, like, what was it, my medical insurance? I lose track now. Is it the bank, the medical insurance, the House of Representatives? Who is it that gave away all my information? This time I think it was medical. They gave it all away. So in case you want to know, you know, what kind of allergies I have, it's basically everything but plastic, metal, and glass. So don't bother to break into my medical records. Doug's the founder and CEO of Cyber Ninjas, the organization retained by the state of Arizona to direct and coordinate all aspects of the forensic audit in Maricopa County. We did some shows about this, and you can look back through our archives for those in case we forget to tell you that. But they were reviewing ballots, machines, and all the related materials associated with the election of 2020. The forensic audit was the first of its kind in the nation. That is a super important point. It hadn't been done before, and they were kind of skating out on the uncharted thin ice of the pond. Mr. Logan was an expert witness in the Atrium, Michigan election case, aiding in several additional legal cases related to the 2020 election. These undertakings were the first of their kind in the nation, which is a critical dimension, as there were no rule books or formulas to follow. Soon, Doug will be releasing a book regarding his work in these matters, paying particular attention to the Maricopa County, Arizona forensic audit. Doug is wonderfully married to a wife who has... It's always good. I'm sure she has a name. We just don't know what it is. Dr. Lyle. Dr. Lyle's got that one under seal. Sorry, Doug. I didn't know how to get a hold of you. And, you know, Lyle kind of shivved you here on the bio. So you have a wife who stood by him through all the tests, criticisms, and attacks on his revealing the myriads of faults, errors, and compromises associated with the 2020 election. And I'm sure you've probably burned some toast or committed some other crimes. Oh, my God. And then, well, of course, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. Well, that's the other guy you're going to hear, of course. And you've heard from him before. We usually, you know, we talked about it so many times, we never really did it. But we decided it would be super fun to do a show about nothing.
Yeah.
Kind of a Seinfeldian show, and we decided, no, we'll just weave that into the other programs we do. He's a private sector intelligence behavior analysis, and he still comes on with us, and threat assessment specialist. Since June of 2010, he has provided select members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white pages, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, federal law enforcement. But, you know, I'm going to change Lyle's bio here, because the one thing Lyle doesn't have is that whole time change thing. The whole time change.
We weren't going to mention a little bit of a deficiency.
We had a conversation every time we do a show, because see, he's in Arizona and we're in California, and then we have to call each other. What time is it where you are? Okay, what time is it where you are? So we did this last week, and then it's like, are you kidding me? They're going to change the time on Sunday morning? Brutal. So I called him yesterday. It took 18 minutes to sort out what time it was going to be. So Doug, as a cybersecurity expert, I would really like you to write some sort of program, if that's within your grasp, to give to your friend Lyle so that he can know what time it is.
Yikes. Doug, I hope Lyle kind of forewarned you about my co-host. I'll try to control it a little bit. But
Doug's wife and Bill's wife are both probably problems.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I am Bill's wife.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't burn toast because I don't go in the kitchen. That's not allowed. That's not my area.
No. I walked in the house one day and I smelled like something nutty cooking, and I thought, oh my
god. Like popcorn.
She really did
the movies.
She's like, cooking. That's amazing. I walked in and go, oh, what are you cooking? She goes, oh, I forgot. And I walk in. She was cooking rice like 3 hours before, and it was it was this black substance in the bottom of a pot.
It smelled really good, though.
Yeah, it had a different smell, that's for sure.
It went beyond the burn into the popcorn smell. Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't good. Anyway,
not a cook. Not
yeah,
a cook.
Failure there. So where would you fellers like to start with this this morass?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of responses. First of all, it was not 15. And secondly, you were just as confused as I was all the time. We couldn't figure out California versus Arizona versus Florida, because I said I called Doug before we get on the show. And what's his It was a pretty intense conversation, Bill.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
The wheels came off when it was, what time will it be for Doug? And I said, well, it'll be 12 for me and 3 for him. And he goes, what about the time change? I'm like, the only person here who really actually has a problem is your time, because you guys don't play ball with the rest of us.
Exactly.
That's really hard. Funny every time, though. We never get sick of it. Oh, my goodness.
I don't think Lyle would use the program if I created one for him, though. I don't think he would use it.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're going to have to do, like, the implant thing. We're going to have to go full, into the future thing and just, sneak up on him and get him an implant.
Just ad-lib. You'll make it. You'll be a little early or a little late. You know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but he was conferencing in, Doug. That's what we cared about. All right, Doug.
I should have just called him, and then I could have called you. And
there you go.
It would have been very simple.
Well,
not a problem at all.
Since this miracle has actually taken place, where would you like to start with all of this?
Well, I'd like to have my attorney now on the phone with all of this, because I'm being maligned. This is unbelievable. The whole nation knows I don't know how to do cyber. I don't make it a secret. Everybody knows. Not technical. All right, I feel better.
We'll just call you Analog Lyle.
Before you get to the serious side with Doug Logan, who's, like, really nationally known and, like, important. Bill, having some issues with Pape machinery. I don't know what's going on out there, but there's taking place, and I have to tell you, it's impacted much the drive big machine.
Well, there are some big changes going on there, and... And I'll not get into that on this show. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll give you a heads up on what's happening there. But long story short, I think the tractor rides have come to an end.
Well, and if hey, it's been sponsor of your show for how many years have I been on and off? Well,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, remember it was Kubota tractor before that, so we have that terrific Photoshop of you riding along on the tractor.
Get into all that. You're right. That was a great Photoshop. People all over saw me drive a big, huge tractor, and I did replace the light pole that got in the way of the tractor.
You did.
Wait, Lyle, was that the time you ran over my iPad?
Doug, I don't want to get into the details.
All day.
Oh, there's more.
Well, we know he didn't run over his own iPad.
Ow.
Oh, sorry. Comes with the free shipping.
That was a shot there. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to talk about cybersecurity at some point. Oh, my goodness. Well,
speaking of cybersecurity and iPads, I once did a phishing exercise against an organization where I promised free iPads to those who clicked on the link. And then, of course, we had to do security awareness training with anyone who clicked on the link because they weren't supposed to click on the link. But me, being a man of my word, I brought iPads straight from CVS. The ones when you hurt your eye, go over your eye, and I gave an iPad to everyone who had to go to that class.
Wow.
Okay, that's really fun. Bill's work does that. They send him like fake emails that they're not supposed to answer, and then when they answer them, they have to go to like remedial cyberness.
Yeah, we have to do cyber classes. You know, they'll send you an email, and if you're in a hurry, and you look at it, oh, I better answer this, and you. Yeah, you're going to class. It's like, oh,
yeah. Well, I do all those exercises. I taught the class, but now they can either people say, well, you know, if you'd clicked on the link, you also would have gotten an iPad. But because you didn't, I'm the only one who got an iPad.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, my goodness. Well, we have now goofed off enough that we have to take a break. Sorry, Doug, we forgot to tell you. They're kind of something about Lyle. I don't know, you know, comes on and it's just all this goofing off, makes us all feel really silly.
I thought that would all go away when he gave him that $1.85 raise.
Yeah, apparently. Thank God we never sent him the Maker's Mark. We never get anything done.
Yeah.
but we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but you can. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Okay, thanks, Aaron.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for a dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called a doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, do you believe this bellyache? I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor,
it'll cure your time change.
Lime in something, but I don't think it was a coconut.
I couldn't resist. All right, Doug, before we get off on some other tangent, take us into the land of cybersecurity, if you dare.
Let's see, where to get started? I assume we're mostly interested in voting machines, correct?
Well, you know, I guess that... But when people hear cybersecurity, they're thinking, what, their PC, the company, their bank records?
Well, what exactly? Email.
Oh, email. Do you work on all that kind of stuff?
No, not everything. So cybersecurity is a general term, which means making computers secure. And so it's basically like advanced IT on a security focus. And so I specifically work in the area of application security. And that means that I work with people who are developing applications to make sure they do it in a manner so it can't be compromised and you can't lose all your data over and over again. So in my history, I've done a lot of what they call penetration testing, which is where you attack it like a bad guy, find the vulnerabilities, and then tell them how to fix it. And now I manage a team that does security engineering and does mobile work, and working with mobile developers to build it well.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Still sounds like it's out of our reach, but okay. So as it relates to how did you get involved in the? I guess I'm kind of curious. How did you even wind up dealing with the election security stuff?
Yeah, so that's actually an interesting story. So it was after the 2020 election, and like everybody, I was reading these non-mainstream media articles. They were talking about things that were off in the election, and I had a friend of mine. And I kept sending these articles to her that I found, and she was sending things back to me. And she finally reached out to me and said, hey, Doug, if I figure out who it is who's working on this, will you get to the bottom of this? Because, I trust your cybersecurity abilities. And I said, sure. Thinking at that point in time that, maybe I'd spend a week or two diving into things. anyway, about a week later, she called me back. She connected me with someone who connected me with someone who was on their way to Lynn Wood's house. And I spent the better part of 2-3 months at Lynn Wood's plantation with the other group of patriots, with Sidney Powell and General Flynn and a whole bunch of other people, just diving into what happened and trying to legally get forensic images of these voting systems so we could take a closer look to see how they functioned and what might have happened, if anything.
The thing it exploded. I mean, it just turned into a huge, it was everywhere.
It was everywhere, and as it turned out, I was kind of connected because of that involvement. I had met a lot of people, and I actually got a call from the Arizona Senate asking me to put together a proposal. So I put together a proposal. I tried to think about, if I was going to try to manipulate an election, what would I change and at what stage and therefore, how would I detect it? And then how would I prove that I actually detected something? So basically, all the information I needed to get in order to figure out if anything happened. And we put together, you know, that from a high level, we call that kind of threat modeling. And from that, I put together a proposal that was submitted to the Arizona Senate. And I understand they looked at about 12 companies or so. Ours was the most comprehensive proposed audit, and so they ended up choosing it, and we got the contract.
So are you giving us a hint, Lyle?
Right. No, he's absolutely right.
I thought maybe you wanted to jump in.
No, I'm clearing my throat.
Well, I know, but that's a universal sign if I want to jump in.
Yeah. Kimmy Lyle always wants to talk. He's ready to go.
What? Oh my God, Doug, I'm glad you're here. We had no idea that was happening.
Oh. I brought him on. I'm telling you, folks, this is unbelievable. Wow. Hey, Doug, I think didn't you come to Arizona also and meet with Senate and House leadership?
Yeah, we did. After we submitted the proposal, I was traveling to Arizona, and they asked me to come give it in person. And so that was a little bit of a crazy story, if you want to hear a little bit crazy story. So as you may have remembered, after COVID, there weren't a lot of rental cars, and there weren't a lot of people driving Lyft and Uber. So I ended up being late to my meeting with the Senate, and the only Lyft vehicle that came and picked me up had a cracked windshield and had a back window that was partially open. So you need to understand, like, I've had zero political involvement in my life. I've never been to a rally. I haven't put a yard sign in my front. Like, I don't, like, zero political environment. So I'm on my way to do a presentation for the Arizona Senate, and I'm riding in a dilapidated vehicle, and it's 9,000 degrees outside. And the windshield is smashed, and the back window is not left open. And I'm arriving probably about 10 minutes later when I was supposed to. So I texted a Senator Fan. I told her I was arriving late. It was not a problem. And me, you know, I was a little bit nervous. And so I don't know your faith, but, you know, I prayed. And, like, I felt like the Lord just answered my prayer. And he said, look, Doug, they're just people. And I had immediate peace that only comes from the Lord. Walked into that meeting, and it was like it was orchestrated. You know, there was about 12 people in that room, and I just answered question after question after question of how we go about it. I was very transparent on how the funding was going to work in everything, and answered all their questions. And it was walked out of that, you know, with total peace, and excited to look for the opportunity.
And they were at that time because, I mean, you know, obviously it was 2020 and we've slept since then. What exactly were they looking for at the outset? Because that kind of changed over time, right? As we all learned more about what was going on in 2020?
I think that, you know, the Arizona Senate, and Lyle can talk a lot more on this, was under a tremendous amount of pressure from the constituents to do something. But there was so much political pressure that that was put over the whole election integrity stuff. As you saw then, and you continue to see now, where if anyone spoke up and thinks that anything might have happened wrong with that election, they're immediately ostracized and the conspiracy theorists and all this other crazy stuff that we've seen. So the politicians both really had to do something because the people who voted them in wanted them to. And on the same note, most of them didn't really want to do much of anything. And there was a handful where that wasn't the case. They actually wanted to do something. And Lyle can give details for sure.
I mean, Doug's making an extremely good point that is maybe lost now because it's been 3 years. But when the election of 2020 went sideways because of fraud, it was Mark Finchem, Representative Finchem, who went to leadership and asked to have a legislative hearing on this prior to the state of Arizona certifying the election, and he was denied. And there were discussions as to why, how come, and basically he got nowhere. They did not want to discuss it, and there was nothing here to see move on. What Representative, but then Representative Finchem, because he just won the primary for the state senate in Yavapai County, where I live in Prescott. He called me. I think it was November 8th or 9th, so the election was November 5th. About 3 or 4 days later, he calls me and says, "I want you to coordinate a joint legislative hearing that's going to be off campus, off the Capitol grounds." Off the Capitol grounds. And I said, "Why? How come? What's going on?" We went through it all, and he turned me loose, and he went in another direction to prepare. And that's when I began to be briefed by the Mayor Giuliani and his team, and President Trump and his team, in preparation for the hearing. Now, I say all this because on November 30th of 2020, we had an all-day hearing in Phoenix. It was about a 10-hour day. And I had national media, not the propaganda platforms, but I had conservative, Breitbart, all of them. I go down the list. Bannon. Excuse me, guys. Just all the different news channels that were conservative and balanced. There were about 10, 8 to 10. And I included them so they could cover it live. And it was covered live all day nationally. That was a turning point that led to Doug responding to the Senate request for somebody to do an audit. They did not want to do it. I won't get into particulars. I cannot at this time still, even though it's been 3 years. But there were leaders, like Doug just mentioned, there were leaders in the Senate and definitely in the House also that wanted nothing to do with this and actually fought to have it come about. But through some perseverance, some phone calls by President Trump, interestingly enough, by the Vice President Pence, who later did not stand up and do what he should have done, in my opinion, by Mayor Giuliani, to the leadership of both the Arizona House and the Senate, as Doug might agree, there was, if you will, a lobbying among some senators. They agreed to do a forensic audit, and to which Doug was referencing. This had never been done before in the history of the nation, so this was all brand new territory. Doug goes to this meeting. He and the ninjas are retained, and Doug, you can fill in the details, but he was then tasked to put together a forensic audit and get it going. And that's a whole story in and of itself, I would think. Wouldn't you, Doug?
It's a rather long story. In fact, it's long enough it could make it into a book.
Hey, what a good idea.
Doug, go on, Logan. What's the book? Come on.
Yeah, what's
it called? So I am in the process of writing a book in order to document all of this because, you know, honestly, when people ask me questions, oftentimes, you know, I'll be hanging out with friends, asking these questions, and I'll be talking for hours about it, and they're like, "Doug, this is super interesting. The rest of people need to learn about this." And also specifically, I was kind of getting to the place because, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, when I took on that audit, my name is smeared across the country. To this day, there continues to be things that accuse me of being a criminal. I've been pulled into grand juries. I've been learning the lawsuits, you know, all this other crazy stuff. And I kind of wanted to get a representation of what had happened on my own in a book. So if for nothing else, I can give it to my kids and be like, "This is what really happened." And what I just, you know, I've got 12 kids. I love my kids. They're awesome. My
you
oldest
have 12
is 21
kids.
Now. My, yes.
Well, you kind of buried the lead there with the wife. Good grief. She needs better billing, Lyle. What the heck?
No, she's a good girl. Hey, Aaron, I'm telling you, she's a good girl.
Apparently.
Oh, no, she is.
She's a machine.
Doug won't. No comment. Doug won't talk about this, but she has stood by him. She encouraged him all through it. For the record, and Doug can correct me anywhere, of course, he was the director of the forensic audit. Everything went to his desk. I had no official role whatsoever. I had no official role. Now that I say that, I was fortunate to do what I have done for 18 years, politically, to put out fires, handle controversies away from the whole thing, and make it all go away. Now, I say that because I remember one night, Doug, you correct me. I remember one night we met, you asked me to come down. I was in Prescott. Asked me to come back down to Phoenix. I'd been back and forth two or three times. I arranged for a hotel for the key people on the forensic team, and we had rooms standing there. I had a room waiting for me any time because I could come down in a moment's notice if I was called. And I came down. I dealt with the problems, and then Doug and I met that night at, I think it was 10:30. Wasn't it, Doug? 10:35. And we went up to a Denny's.
We don't know if we can take your word for that, Lyle. We'll have to double check that.
Wow. We did meet at 10:30. The reason we met at 10:30 is because that's how long the audit days were. You know, about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Great.
I left there around 10 p.m. Yeah. 6 days a week for that entire time. And so 10:30 was the time that I reliably could get back from it and go and meet with Lyle.
Right.
It was really up the street from the hotel. It was an IHOP, if I remember. Doug, it wasn't Denny's, it was IHOP. And nobody was in there because it was partly COVID, partly it was late at night. And we sat way away from everybody so we could see if anybody was coming in. And we talked about problems and crises and decisions and all that. And the reason I'm telling you the story, because Doug won't. Doug, you correct me.
I will.
look at the time.
It was an hour and 15, 20-minute discussion of all the crises. And you know what I'm talking about, Doug. I won't mention, but political and individuals sabotaging, et cetera, et cetera. When we were all
done. In politics? You had people sabotaging you? That's shocking. It hardly ever happens.
Read his book.
I mean, just to give a little bit of a backdrop for this to make this make even more sense. So when we started the audit in the very beginning, there was a newspaper article that came out that Mark Elias had hired 70 attorneys in order to try to stop our audit. So, like, from the get-go, we had 70 attorneys trying to stop what we're doing. So we had, like, initial lawsuits, and there's all these ridiculous claims, and they're trying to shut us down. And at one point, they filed a motion for a stay to stop the audit. And the judge was actually pretty brilliant. The judge said, hey, if you put up this bond, we'll put a stay on the audit. It has to stop. And if you win your appeal, you get your money back from it, you know, and we'll put the stay in. But if you don't, then that money goes away. And they basically call them the bluff. And what was interesting is that during this lawsuit, they decided not to post the bond because they realized that they had pretty much no case to try to stop us. But unfortunately, this hit the newspaper so much that everybody thought the audit was paused, and like 2/3 of our counters didn't show up the next day. So it negatively impacted us.
Wow.
Let alone, you know, we had politicians that we were dealing with that were involved in the audit in various capacities, doing all the other crazy things, and people trying to get media associated with it. Well, we're trying to solve just the standard operational challenges of doing something that no one had ever done before. And just to give you some perspective, so when we're talking about 2.1 million ballots, and specifically when we're talking about just the aspect of taking pictures of those, high-resolution pictures of those, we end up needing, what was it? It was like 800 or 900 terabytes worth of data just to store the stuff for those videos, let alone the live streaming that we did all the time. So we basically had to set up the network of a large corporation onto a air-gapped system. You know, air-gapped means there's no way to connect to it from the outside, in addition to all the other challenges and craziness we had coming after us. And meanwhile, you guys may or may not have noticed, but even on, quote-unquote, our side, all these people on the right who supported the audit individually were accusing each other of being FBI plants or spies or any number of whatever things. And I spent a lot of my time trying to talk to them and get everyone to get along to support us so that we continue to get things done. In order to make it happen, And so this is kind of the backdrop of just like all the stuff that we can talk about behind why Lyle helped with some of the firefights and some of the stuff and why we were meeting that night. And this isn't even the specific situation we're talking about, but it just gives you an idea of the type of
it's just the kind of stuff that was happening. And, you know, well, okay, so we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I don't want to skip over who Mark Elias is. And the fact he hired 70 lawyers, people don't necessarily follow this stuff all that close. They need to kind of know where that was coming from and what that means. Mm-hmm. So, let's come right back. I found one song that had about computers, huh? Wow. In my 500 and some songs, I found one. You're going to really like it. So this one's for you. It's kind of a Lyle computer song, actually. That's what I was thinking. Oh. Like, if Lyle had a playlist of computer songs, this would be pretty much top of the list.
On this show.
This is just so much fun. Makes my whole day. Bill's shaking his head.
I am not responsible.
Bill has no idea. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. You better pay attention, or this world you love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, cause there's a jungle out there. There's a jungle out there. There's a jungle out there.
What a good lead into Mark Elias. Do you like your spam song, Lyle?
I just want to thank you all for the hospitality I'm receiving on the show.
It's a special kind of hospitality, only given here.
But you know what? Like all large families, and obviously Doug's the pro here. I'm only the oldest of five kids. I don't know anything about your situation. But bottom line is we only tease people we like. Everyone knows that. The only people who don't know that are only children, and who knows how that works. They never share because they're only children.
Doug, go on with the story about Mark Elias.
Yeah, he's quite a figure.
Yeah, he was just one. Again, Doug, correct me. He was just one sharp point, if you will, in a host. There were political people. There was national people. There was a lot of people on all sides of the aisles doing everything they could to destroy this forensic audit, undercut it, sabotage it in many different ways to prove that there was nothing here. And Doug had to put up with all of that. He doesn't discuss it. I'm hoping in the book he will he'll go a little bit behind the curtain. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, yes, I was putting out a lot of fires that never the public never saw, but Doug knows this, and so do a couple of the senior people, which we won't mention, but Doug, you know what I'm talking about, in charge of security, in charge of some coordinations and things of that nature. We had to put out a number of political and other fires. The governor of Arizona, for instance, convinced the mayor of Phoenix not to have any security for the forensic audit. They forbid the Arizona police of all levels to be involved.
Nice.
Well, that opened up some serious problems. So I had to put out that fire, and we did. And we had very good security. In fact, it was the security that caught some of the political people taking things and doing things they had no authority to do because they knew nothing about the security arrangements we made. And that's just one little tidbit to a whole host of things. So when we met that night at the IHOP, it was because there were other serious problems. And I spent the day in Phoenix dealing with those. And then I met with Doug at night at 10:30, and we went over him and did a debrief. And he's right. There was during the commercial, we were talking, on another night, I'd forgotten about this, on another night, we went over some more problems and fires. And at the end of that meeting, it was a three-day weekend, I believe, Doug. I forget what it was, but I said, "You're going home. You're going home in the morning. If I have to put your blanket off the plane, I'm doing so, and I'll ride back with you and get you there." "No, I need to be here." "No, I'm bigger than you. I'm older than you. You're going on a plane."
Age and treachery always overcomes youth and skill.
Yeah, but you know something, guys? For 30 seconds, then I'll be quiet and let Doug talk serious stuff. His wife had supported him phenomenally under a lot of national attack in all sorts of ways. And Doug was...
Just to be clear, it wasn't just about national attack, because you have to understand that every single time someone on the left or someone on the right went out and made some crazy statement about me, I received death threats. And not only did I receive death threats, but, like, people showed up at our house. Type of stuff. So, like, it's not just like, "Hey, my husband is being, you know, defamed over the course of the country." It's, "Hey, there's weird people showing up, and when I go get groceries, is that person following me? Because I have to make sure I'm protecting my kids and everyone and what's going on." So it's a whole nother layer.
Well, this wasn't because we kind of skipped. Okay, so I really want people to know Mark Eric Elias. I just pulled up his Wikipedia. So, an American elections lawyer for the Democratic Party, founded Democracy Docket, a website focused on voting rights and election litigation in the U.S. 2020, he left his position as a partner in Perkins Coie to start the Elias Law Group. Well, anybody who deals with environmental problems like we do out here, Perkins is a big name. Elias served as general counsel for the Hillary Clinton 2016 campaign, John Kerry 2004. In 2020 and 2021, on behalf of the Biden campaign and the DNC, he oversaw a state-by-state response to lawsuits. He was hired by Kamala Harris for the 2024 election. So this isn't just some guy who's a Democratic, you know, operative who has a law degree. I mean, this is a big guy coming after you with all the resources that they have.
Yeah, little old me.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah, right. Some guy who comes in and goes, "Well, sure, I can help you figure out if your, if your election stuff, you know, was run correctly. I can look at all the computer stuff." And then all of a sudden, Mark Elias falls out of the sky. You're like, "Uh-oh." I don't know. That would concern me.
Yeah, that was a concern. Doug would know more about that than I. All kidding aside,
that's a big deal.
Well, it was. We discussed it, and we were taking steps to counter that. But we had problems within Maricopa County. The Board of Supervisors is totally corrupt. Phoenix, Maricopa County supervisors, they had been subpoenaed a couple of times, and they refused the subpoenas. They finally were subpoenaed by the state Senate to give testimony, or they were going to be held in contempt of the Senate. Now, people don't realize that can happen. And the Senate was going to have them arrested, and I'm not making this up, and the Senate can do that. Now, would that put them in jail, or do they have a jail in the Senate? No. What they would do is they would have the Arizona Department of Public Safety dispatched and take each of the county supervisors, there's five of them, who failed to comply with Senate agreements and subpoenas, etc., and bring them down and hold them all day in the Senate where they could not function, and then at night escort them to their home and stay there, monitor them, and then bring them back down the next day. So that's the form of arrest in a quick and short way. The reason for this is because not only did Doug, but the state of Arizona wanted to take a look at the Dominion machines and other equipment associated with it. And we'd already had verified reports of tampering with machines in a multiplicity of ways. Doug can speak into that because it becomes really technical. But they continued to not comply. And so we had those issues. We had a couple of political people who wanted to make a name for themselves, and they were playing both ends to the middle. Depending on the day of the week and who they were talking to, be it CNN or whomever, they could blow in the wind and either go against the audit, go against Doug, or all of a sudden they're in favor of it. But it was adding to the overall confusion and misinformation being sent out, and that further created problems, which then Mark Elias and others could count on. But see, Doug, as the director of the audit, he was the focal point. So they came after him, and he's right, and I was a little surprised to hear him say it just now, that I didn't think he would talk about it, but the threats against him, against his family to intimidate them, hoping that he would quit. There was a plan to get him to quit, and if he quit or resigned, whatever word you want to use, there was somebody who was going to step in. And that would have been another catastrophe. So Doug's right. This was a heck of a battle behind the curtain that people did not see.
Yeah, and when I was working with some of the security professionals that were thankfully helping me and my family out, I mean, I had to learn things I never thought I'd ever need to know, like the difference between a death threat and a qualified death threat. You know, apparently if someone says, just generically, I'm going to kill you, you really don't need to worry about that. But if they start going, hey, I know the blah, blah, blah school that your kids are in or the XYZ vehicle that you're in, that's when you have to start being concerned. And so over the course of all this work, I probably received, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 death threats. And I received about 3, 4, 5 qualified death threats that had to be looked into even more fully.
Correct, yeah. That's not too stressful. Well, on top of Doug, speak into this because you were there every day, but on top of the political issues that were just rampant, not only in Arizona but nationwide, at one time, throughout the course of the forensic audit, over 26 states sent delegations to Arizona to review the forensic audit, 26 legislative delegations. They didn't all come on the same day, but it was a steady stream. And that's just one more little layer. It would take a half hour here to go layer upon layer upon layer of all the things that were taking place well behind the curtain and far away from the floor count. In other words, on the floor of the Coliseum where we had the table set up and the counting was going on. Well beyond all of that, there was just a whole different world taking place. And Doug, unfortunately, And understandably, being the director of the whole thing, he was the focal point in one form or another. So he was putting up with a hell of a lot of pressure that people don't know, to this day still don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you at that time, the other thing to kind of, that you can't overstate is at that time the whole country had gone crazy. You know, they all thought wearing a piece of cloth over their face was going to keep them safe somehow, and fear was absolutely the fear of everything, fear of each other, fear of people. Don't go out. Don't shake hands. Don't all this stuff. And there was a lot of controversy about that. You know, you had some places that were really cracking down, other places that were not. They were all heretics. So. The lines of the camp were drawn. It was hard to find a picture of you, Doug. I went to look for something on the internet because I do like to, on the page for the day, I like to put the picture if I can and get a mask on and all of them. I'm like, it's like the Wild West. What the heck?
there's a little bit of a story behind that. So, like, a lot of people said, hey, you're a conservative. Why are you going to have people at the audit wearing masks? Because we planned from the beginning that to have everyone wear masks the whole time, and there's a number of different reasons for that, and one of which is because such a large percentage of our population at that point in time believed full-heartedly that the masks were useful, they were valuable, and that you didn't honor human life if you didn't wear one.
Right.
And I said from the beginning that, you know, I didn't want to go through this whole audit, have good results, hopefully, and have people discredit it simply because they were like, well, they didn't wear masks. It obviously isn't real. And secondly, and the other thing on all of this is that I was a little bit concerned as we've seen these different times where PTA members have been targeted and other things to the FBI, that I didn't really want them to have a catalog of people who volunteered, and masks give you a form of anonymity, makes it harder for people to recognize you. And so from the very beginning, we decided that we were going to require everyone to wear a mask to be on the floor. And the reason, again, was because we wanted to make sure that, that our results would be believable, and we really wanted to protect people. And that resulted in some heated conversations behind the scenes.
And hysteria.
Speaking of hysteria, we have to take a really quick break
for the news to find out what has happened in the world. Just for 5 minutes, so then we're going to come back and talk about some good stuff with you. We'll be right back with our guest, Doug Logan, and Dr. Lyle Verpacki. You're listening to We the People.
I'm going to do bad things, do it like it's nothing. Being bad has never felt so good. I'm going to do bad things, you won't see. Doing bad things to you.